Today's shir is Masechta Tainus Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Mitzvah Hashem. Finish the Masechta. Be'ezer Hashem. About 10 lines from the wide lines. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel LaHayom Tayim LiYisrael K'chamish V'asubav K'yom Kippurim. We learned in the Mishnah that the two biggest Yom Tovim of the year were Yom Kippur and Chamish V'asubav. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a big yontif. Shendes be slicha mechila. It's the day that we're forgiven for our sins, and it's also the day that Yom Shnit by Luchas Achronis, that the second Luchas were given on Yom Kippur. As Rashi goes through the calculation, we learned that in Shavas B'Tamis, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas when he saw that Klal Yisrael had created the eagle. He went back to Shemayim up Har Sinai in Yud Ches Tamis, spent 80 days, the first 40 days, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, the second 40 days receiving the Luchos, Hashniyos, and if we make a calculation where Tamis has 29 days, and Av has 30 days, and Elul has 29 days, it comes out that he came back down on Yom Kippur. The Mefarshim discuss, why does the Gemara have to give two reasons why Yom Kippur is such a great day, both Yom Slich V'Kapora and also Yom Shnitna Bo Luchas Achroinus? So the Ein Yaakov explains, since, as we just learned, the Mishnah says that Yom Kippur is the greatest Yontif, so if there was only one event that happened on Yom Kippur, it's a Yontif like all other Yom Tovim. Now that we call it Yom that has these two aspects, both Slich V'Mechila, and both that the Luchas Shniyos were given, that's what makes it especially special and unique. The Gevuras Ari says a different teretz. He says, from our Mishnah, it seems that what makes Yom Kippur special, Yom Chasunasai, Yom Simchas Liboy, the day that we receive the Torah. But if that's the case, then Shavuos is just as much as Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur we got Luchas Shniyos, but in Yom Kippur, on Shavuos, we got the Luchas Rishonis. So what makes Yom Kippur better than Shavuos? So the Gemara says that Yom Kippur has another element. Besides the fact that it's the day that we receive the Luchas, which may make it equivalent to Shavuos, but we also have the aspect that's Yom Slicha Mechila, that's what makes Yom Kippur more than Shavuos. El Tezva Ba'av Maihi, what makes Tezva Ba'av so special? So as Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is going to mention a number of different events that happen on Tu B'Av, and they're not necessarily arguing. And they all happen, and actually the combination of all these different events that happen on Tu B'Av makes Tu B'Av the great Yontif that it was. So the first Mandama says, Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, Yom Shehut Shvatim Lova Zebezeh. It was the day that Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. My Doris, Ze Dovah Shetziva Hashem L'Bnoi Tzalavchad, Dovah Ze Lo Yehei Noig El B'Dor Ze. As we remember, Tzalavchad was a man who passed away, but only had daughters. And the halacha of Yerusha is that if one doesn't have any sons, then his inheritance goes to his daughters. But when a daughter gets married, so whatever she owns becomes her husband's and her children after they pass away. And the children are from a different shevet, because the children follow the father in terms of a shevet. So the B'nai Tzalavchad, if they would have gotten their father's share, and then marry someone from a different shevet, and then have children, so it would turn out that this property that they got as an inheritance would end up by a different shevet. And as the Ramban says in Chumash, given that this was the first generation that came out of Mitzrayim that was going to get part of Eretz Yisrael, at least at the beginning, Hashem, in his instructions to Moshe, wanted that the Nachlois, the inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, should be very clear, and not start having different Shvatim, having property in the middle of other Shvatim. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the B'nai Tzalavchad, yes, you will get your father's estate, but you have to be careful to only marry men who are members of your shevet. So given that it's hard enough, as we're going to learn, sometimes to get married, now you also put on limitations. It has to be only members of your same shevet. That was a difficulty. This day, Yoyim Shehutri Shvatim Lov Zebzeh, they darshened that was only the first generation that had this stipulation. Future generations don't have this stipulation. And according to Ramban's explanation, it's very understandable, because future generations, the boundaries were already set, so there's not that much concern for confusion. That's why it was a big yontif. So the Mefarshim asked, a yontif is a yontif when it's a yontif for everyone. Here, yes, for the daughters who are inheriting their father, not being limited to marry only to their shevet, is a big yontif. But to the people of the shevet, it's not a yontif. Because now what we're going to end up, as we described a moment ago, is that in the middle of one shevet's boundaries, other shvatim may come in. So that's not a yontif, where it's a yontif for me and not a yontif for you. So some of Farshim point out, interestingly, that the Gemara says it was a yontif for the Benois Yisrael. For the women, it was a yontif, because now they're not limited. For the men, the taka wasn't a yontif. But others suggest, interesting pshat that I saw, that even though the restriction that women who inherit the fathers have to only marry members of the shevet was lifted, the halacha was that they inherit their father, they're not limited to marrying members of the shevet, but they have to sell off the property and keep it in the shevet. They have to sell it off to other members of their shevet to keep the property. So you have everybody satisfied. They're not limited, and the members of the shevet don't have other shvatim encroaching on their nachal. Another teretz that I saw to this question is that the simcha, the yontif, wasn't because the ban was lifted. The simcha was because they were able to understand pshat and the pasuk. That the pshat and the pasuk was that now that the pshat is it was only for the first generation, not for future generations. And when one comes to a good pshat and a pasuk, that's a reason to call it a yontif. Taisus, there's a very interesting Taisus here. Taisus says, Yoyim Shehutri Shvatim Lov Zebzeh, Pirish Tahainu Yontif. So the Mefarshim asks, what's Taisus adding? And we know, Tubav is a Yontif. What's Taisus adding? So I saw two Pshatim that are almost opposite each other. One Pshat is that it's a Yontif, but it's not a full-fledged Yontif. Shehutri Shvatim Lov Zebzeh is not a reason to make it into a full-fledged Yontif. Another Pshat is that Tahainu Yontif, that the Gemara is thinking, Taisus is saying, you would think that this is not enough of a reason that it should be considered a yontif. Tells us Taisus, it's a yontif. It's a full-fledged yontif that even all the halachas of yontif apply. And then we know the halacha is that Tu B'Av, we don't say tachnun because it's considered a yontif. Interesting, I saw there's some people that say there's a minig that on any day we don't say tachnun, we don't eat adashim, lentils. Why? Because we know that beans is a machal aveilim. You have a pasuk in the Torah that Yaakov was preparing nazir adashim when they were doing the aveilis for Avram Avinu. So on a day that we don't say tachnun, is a day that we don't have aveilis, and they didn't eat beans. Perhaps that's the reason we eat cholent on Shabbos, because cholent is made out of beans. And Shabbos we never say tachnun, so Shabbos we eat a machal with beans. Another pshat that I saw that what pshat in Taisus, the Pirish Tahani Yontif, a very interesting pshat from the Alexandria Rebbe. We learned the first Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So the first Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah lists Yom Tovim that are Yontif, but they're also Yemei Din. Pesach Nidoinim Ala Tvua, Sukkos Nidoinim Ala Mayim, Shavuos Nidoinim Ala Peiros. So it's not a pure Yontif because there's also an element of Midas Hadin in those Yom Tovim. Tells us Taisus, Tu B'Av is a pure Yontif. There's no element of Din. It's only Yontif. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman. What makes Tu B'Av unique? Yoyim Shehutah Shevet Binyamin Lov B'Kol. It was a day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to come intermarry into Klal Yisrael. Shnemav Ish Yisrael Nishba B'Mitzvah Leimer. They swore, Ish Mimenu La Yitem Bita L'Binyamin. No one will give their daughter to Binyamin, L'Isha. My drush, what was their learning? Amarav, Mimenu V'Loiba B'Neinu. We know the story of Pelegish B'Giva. There was a man that came to Giva, which was in the portion of Binyamin, with his Pelegish, and she was raped. And this man went and cut up his wife and sent up parts all around Klal Yisrael, to every Shevet, to show the outrage of what happened. And Klal Yisrael was very upset, and they demanded that Shevet Binyamin turn over the people who have perpetrated this crime. Shevet Binyamin refused. A war between Klal Yisrael and Shevet Binyamin ensued, and ultimately Shevet Binyamin was decimated. And besides that they were decimated, they then made a shvua that no one is allowed to intermarry with Shevet Binyamin. On Tu B'Av, they dashed the pasuk, but the pasuk says only the people of that generation may not intermarry with Shevet Binyamin, not the next generation, and therefore Shevet Binyamin became permitted to intermarry with Klal Yisrael. The Mefarshim make a number of interesting observations. One is, why did they need a pasuk to say that the shvua doesn't apply to the children? The children had never made such a shvua. So the pasuk can say, from here we see that if a family or a shevet make a neder or a makabel a minig, even though the children aren't alive, their descendants aren't alive, that shvua applies to the future generations, even though they never were part of making that shvua. And this is really the source why people have to follow minhagim of their family. My great-grandfather took upon himself a minig, so I wasn't there. Why do I have to take it? This is what the pasuk is teaching us. If not for the fact that it was clear from the pasuk that the shvua did not apply to the children, it would have automatically applied once the whole Klal Yisrael accepted it as a shvua, even though these people were not there when the shvua was made. The Ramban takes this concept a step further. He says, how could a specific date be used as when Shevet Binyamin could intermarry with all of Klal Yisrael? It depends if you're first generation or you're a second generation. A first generation cannot, a second generation may. So Pashat Pshat in the Gemara is, this was the day when they taught this Dvar Torah, that they came out with this ruling. But the Ramban says that, let's say we have already a mixture. We have people from the first generation who can't intermarry with Binyamin because to them the Shvua applied. And you have people from the second generation who may intermarry with Binyamin because the Shvua did not apply to them. Says the Ramban, those second generation people cannot marry because we can't have a situation where there's a mix-up in Klal Yisrael, there's confusion. Some people can marry and some people can't. So they had to wait till a time where the people from the first generation were no longer there, so there was nobody for the shvua to apply to, and they made the date. What was the date? Tu B'Av. The Sifrei Tzaddik again explains, this is a theme that's going to run through today's Shir Mitzvah Shem, that Ta'kadosh Baruch Hu, there is no greater simcha when there's shalom and achdus by Klal Yisrael. So here, when we had the Shalom and Achdus with Klal Yisrael, that they were able to intermarry with each other, that is a yontif by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi B'chan Amar M'yoychan and Yoyim Shekolav by Mesa Midbar. It was a day that people in the Midbar stopped dying. Damamar, Achloi Kolav Mesa Midbar, until the people who were decreed upon in the Midbar after the Chet Ego and the Chet Meraglim, that Hashem said, anyone who is between 20 and 60 will die and not enter Eretz Yisrael, they all stopped dying on Tu B'Av. And until then, there was no direct communication. We'll speak about this more in a moment, from Hashem to Moshe. Shnemar, v'hika shatama kol anshe ha'mecham alomus, when all of the people of age passed away, then v'yidab Hashem elah ha'yadibar. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them. So Rashi describes, we all familiar with what happened. Every year Tisha B'Av, everybody would dig a grave and lie down in the grave. And in the morning, some people didn't get up, and a lot of other people did get up. And that's what happened every year. Why did they go through this? It's pretty gruesome to lay down in a grave and not know if you're going to get up in the morning. So Farshim say, they lived in a world where there were Makbid and Tum and Tahara. So if there were so many people that were Nifter, so many people would have to become Tameh to be metapled with the Mason. They didn't want to do that, so that's why they just, so to speak, buried themselves. Another pshat, the Halach is like Solon of Nosai. We're not allowed to leave a Nifter unburied. Obviously, if we start calculating every year Tisha B'Av, there were thousands of people that died, so it would not be possible to bury them all immediately. So that's why, to avoid Halonas Hameis, They bury themselves, so to speak. There's interesting machlokes. Tosfos speaks about, did anybody die any other day of the year besides Tisha B'Av, when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar? Some Rishonim say that the only day people died in the Midbar was on Tisha B'Av. Tosfos seems to learn that people died other days of the year, but Tisha B'Av was certainly the day where there was more people dying, or many, many more people dying than the other day of the year. I saw an interesting Tshuvas Chavos Yor. The Chavos Yor says that when Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos, obviously in the 40 years that they were in the Midbar, there must have been years when Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos, then this whole thing didn't happen. It was only in the years when Tisha B'Av wasn't on Shabbos. A very interesting Chavos Yor. So let's continue. So every year Tisha B'Av, they used to go through this process. In the 40th year, Tisha B'Av comes, and they lay down in the graves. No, and they wake up, everybody in the morning, Baruch Hashem, gets up. So they thought they made a miscalculation, that it wasn't Tisha B'Av. They used to be Mekadosh through the seeing the moon. They thought they perhaps made a calculation. So they continued doing this for a week, every night, until Tu B'Av came. At Tu B'Av, the moon was full. When they saw that they had a whole moon, they knew it couldn't be Tisha B'Av anymore, because Tisha B'Av is towards the beginning of the month. You don't have a whole moon. So they realized that the decree was over. The Rishonim discussed, how could they have made an error? If they knew that the decree was for anybody from 20 to 60, so if they were that age, there should have been people passing away. And if they weren't that age, what happened here? So the Machlokes Rishonim, how they made this mistake. Tosfos seems to learn that they got a grace period. That really the people who should have died in this 40th year should have died. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berachmav HaMerubim, did them a favor and those people did not die. But that's how they thought that they should die, but actually didn't die. Other Rishonim learned that they made a miscalculation what year he begin to start from. Is it the year that they did the Aveira, or the next year? And that's how people made a mistake. Some people were 20 that second year, not the first year. Now, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Moshe until all the people who were supposed to die passed away. So Rashi really alludes to this, and all the Rishonim discuss it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu all of those 38 years in the Midbar. We know they spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi seems to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to him directly, which seems to mean that we know that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was different than the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was a Nevuah where he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu even not in a dream. And here, during these 38 years, he perhaps also only saw Hashem in a dream. But many Rishonim and the Ben Yoyada discusses this, take issue with that. We know Loikein Avdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi of a higher level. So they say that Kadosh Baruch Hu certainly spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu even when he was awake during those 38 years. But he did not speak in the same direct line. Per dababai. And there's a very interesting observation that Mefarshim make. In all of the years that Klal Yisrael are in the Midbar, those 38 years, the Pasuk never uses the word Vayedaber. It always uses the word Vayoymer. Vayoymer is not such a direct mode of communication like Vayedaber. Because only after the Meisei Midbar finished, Vayedaber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Ula says a different thing happened on Tu B'Av. Yom Shabbat al-Hashem ben Eila, Hashem ben Eila abolished per Sudiyai Shahoshiv Yeravim ben Not al-Drachim. The gods, the Yeravim ben Nevat, put on the roads, Shalayalu Yisrael al-Regel. That they shouldn't, Yeravim ben Nevat, as we discussed early in the week, had made gods. He was the first king that created the chisholm in Klal Yisrael between Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda. He made Avodah Zarah, and he did not let anybody go to Yerushalayim to be Oyel Regel. Hashem ben Allah, who was a descendant of his, wasn't such a big tzaddik. It wasn't like he abolished Avodah Zarah. He didn't abolish Avodah Zarah, but he was a democracy. He says that everybody could choose. They either could go to the Beis HaMikdash, or they could go to the Avodah Zarah. Vomri said, Leizah Shiyatziyalu. So Rishonim point out, Hashem ben Allah obviously wasn't such a big tzaddik. He was an Oyel Avodah Zarah. But the fact that he gave them a choice to still be able to go to Tzor for Leiru Regel, so that's why Tu B'Av is a Gvaldig Yontif, because it caused the ability for people to properly celebrate the Yom Tovim in the Beis HaMikdash. Others say from here we see that when a person does something good, even if it's not perfect, he deserves credit. What Asher ben Ela did wasn't perfect. He still kept Avodah Zarah, but he did something worthwhile, so he deserves credit. Ramas Nama, Yoyim Shenitna Harugei Betel Kfura. It was a day we spoke about that the Harugei Betel was a big city, that 52 years after the Churban, that entire city, which was a large city, Jewish city, was destroyed, and they were left unburied for many years, and then they were brought to Kfura. Bara Masna, Oysi Yoyim Shenitna Harugei Betel Kfura, the day that the Harugei Betel would brought to burial, Tikna B'Yavna HaTayv Mameitav. The bracha of HaTayv Mameitav was instituted. What does the bracha represent? HaTayv Shelo Yisrichu, a bracha that they didn't decompose all those years. V'Ameitav Shenitnu L'Kfura, that's another bracha that they were brought to burial. And the Mepharshim explained, if they didn't decompose, so why did they have to come to burial? The Mepharshim say, and this is a concept that we see in Halacha, that it's important for the Neshama, even if the body doesn't decompose, to be brought to Kfura. Meshama doesn't come to Menucha until it's buried. So that's why even though it was a type that they didn't decompose, they didn't have a Menucha until they were buried, and that's why we say Hametiv, that they were brought to burial. Like the Mashah says, Hametiv speaks about other people. They themselves didn't bring themselves to burial. Hametiv, other people, brought them to burial. So Rishonim point out, where do we say the bracha of HaTayv HaMeitiv? We say it in two places. One place we say it is in Birchas HaMazon. It's the fourth bracha. And the other place is, the halach is, if one is drinking wine, and he makes a bari priya gafir on the wine, and then another bottle of wine, which is better, we're not going to go into all the halachas, as brought, so you don't have to make another bari priya gafir. He already made a bari priya gafir. He makes a bracha HaTayv HaMeitiv for getting wine. So Mepharshim discuss, what is the connection that these two places that we say HaTayv HaMeitiv to the Kvura of the people of Beta? What does it have to do with benching, and what does it have to do with wine? So regarding benching, since benching, the entire benching is really an expression of Haidah, of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that He gives us, so it's most appropriate that it should be brought into benching, that we appreciate Hashem that the Harugei Betel were brought to Kvura. And the Mepharshim take that a step further. Where do we say the bracha of HaTayv HaMeitiv? Right next to the bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim. HaTayv HaMeitiv, which speaks about the Harugei Betel, speaks about how Klal Yisrael has tzoros, that we were all killed out, left out not to be buried. But we speak Bnei Yerushalayim, that the covet of Klal Yisrael and Mitzvah Shem will come back. Bnei Yerushalayim, David HaMelech, Mashiach, will come and rebuild Yerushalayim, and our honor will be restored. What does it have to do with wine? So one pshat they say is that around the city of Betar, while these corpses were laying, a gate, a row of vineyard was planted to protect them. So HaTayv HaMeitiv, which we make by wine, is most appropriate because it reminds us of the Harugei Betel. Rabbi Kivegas has another pshat, very nice pshat. He says, if a person is drinking wine, he's drinking one bottle of wine, and now they bring him another bottle, which is even better, so he gets a little happy, and maybe gets a little too happy. So we tell him, make a bracha HaTayv HaMeitiv, which will remind you of the Harugei Betel, and that'll keep you in check, it'll dampen your spirits. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayu, what makes Tu B'Av special? Yoyim Sheposkim Malichris Eitzel Marocha. It was a day when they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. After 15 days in Av, the sun is not so strong, so they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. They're not that dry. And as the Rishonim explained, the wood for the Marocha, they specifically cut when it's very dry for two reasons. One reason, something we discussed also earlier in the week, the wood used for the Mizbeach was not allowed to have any worms in it. Very dry wood doesn't have worms. So that's why they were careful to use wood that was completely dry. Another reason is very dry wood doesn't give off a lot of smoke. They didn't want that there should be a lot of smoke in the base of Mikdash, so they specifically used this very dried wood. Amar Rav Menashe, the Karalei Yoyim Taver Magal. It was called the day that they broke the saw because they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. And the Mefarshim, Ramashi even has a tshuva about this, and a lot of other Mefarshim discuss this, say this is one of the sources that we learned that we have to make a siyum. Because here we have that when they finished cutting the wood, so they finished doing a mitzvah, you make a siyum. It was a yontif. So it's a source that we learn that when you finish doing a dvar mitzvah, you make a siyum. And we could take this concept a step further. There's a very famous Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva says, Sholu oisi anshe lita. The people that live in Lita ask me the following question. In the Gemara, he says, the Yontav Shavuos is called Atzeres, many times. In the Chumash, we never find that Shavuos is called Atzeres. So Sholu oisi anshe lita, why do we call Shavuos Atzeres if it's something we don't find that the Torah calls it? So he answers, one of the reasons Shavuos is a yontif is because it's the day when we complete doing a big mitzvah. For 49 days, we count the sphira, and it comes Shavuos, and we finish doing this great mitzvah. So it's a yontif. But he says, so why is it called Atzeres? Atzeres means to hold in. We finish a mitzvah. Suppose you finish the mitzvah, Baruch Hashem. I counted all 49 days. And Baruch Hashem, I made it every day with a bracha. And maybe even better, I made it every day. B'minyan, gevaldig, right? But what you're supposed to also do is at Tzeres, the hashpah of the mitzvah, you're supposed to hold on to. Not just do a mitzvah, hold on to the mitzvah. And that's why you make a seem that I want to hold on to the mitzvah. Mikan ve'elech, continues the Gemara, the Moisef Yosef, somebody who spends more time learning. Why? Because the nights are longer after Tu B'Av. Yosef, he should have more days. Or the Loi Yosef, somebody doesn't spend more time learning. Mai Yosef. Amar of Yosef, what does Mai Yosef mean? Tigber Ime, his mother should bury him. So I saw a beautiful tshuva from the Klozma Gereba. He says that the reason we make a siyim, the yontiv is not the siyim. The yontiv is the aschola. Because after we finish learning, we start another mesechta, right? The Yosef, somebody, he quotes Rabbeinu Gershom that says this, the yontif of Tu B'Av was that they finished cutting the wood, so now they have more time to learn. That's the yontif. When you make a siyim, the yontif is not the end. The yontif is the beginning. And there's an unbelievable Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina says, the Yosef, person finishes the mesechta. And he says, you know what? Masechta Tainus, finish Masechta Tainus, I don't have to go back to this Gemara. The Moisef, somebody who realizes, even if you finish the Masechta, Yosef, you still can learn it again. There's so much to learn. Just because you learned it doesn't mean you can't learn it another time and find so much in it. Yosef, he deserves to keep on living because he has what to do. With the law, somebody finished, says, I finished learning. Yosef, what does he have to do with his life? The Mefarshim point out, my Tikbrei Ime, why does his mother bury him more than anyone else? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is like this. It's the mother's responsibility primarily to be mechanech the children, to educate the children. If there's a child that grew up that has an approach that he doesn't have to learn, the La Yosef, he doesn't have to learn. So Tikbrei Ime, there must have been something wrong with his education. Because if he would have had the proper chinuch, he would never have such an attitude. Another approach, another pshat, is we know that the women of the house are very diligent in their responsibilities. They go to sleep late, they get up early, it's before Pesach, we have to clean. They take their responsibilities very seriously. This person didn't take a lesson from his mother. He should have looked at the way his mother approaches her responsibilities. He should have taken the same attitude towards his learning. If he didn't, Tigbrei Ime. And his third pshat is the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, V'al titosh Taras Imecha. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha refers to Taras Shebiksav. V'al titosh Taras Imecha refers to Taras Shebapeh. This person who wasn't anxious to learn Taras Shebapeh, Tigbrei Ime, he isn't being Mekayim, Al titosh Taras Imecha. So we learned, Shabbat Benos Yerushalayim, on Tu B'Av, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out, and in Yom Kippur, they would go out and dance. Tana Rabbanan, and they would borrow clothing. Bas Melech She'elos Me'Bas Kohen Gadol. a Bas Melech, a king, who's the highest level, would ask from the Bas Kohen Gadol. Like the Mashah and the Sfasemis both say it specifically went in that order. It wasn't that the person of a lower stature asked somebody of a higher stature, because then it looks like they're just switching clothing. Specifically, somebody of a higher level asked somebody lower than them, could I borrow your clothing? Bas Kohen Gadol borrowed from the Baskan, that was the sister Kohen Gadol. Baskan, Mibas Meshuch Muhammad, the Meshuch Muhammad was the one that before Klai Yisrael went out to war, would make a speech and say, Shema Yisrael, listen, Atam Oivim Hayoim Esayarden, you're going and to be strong and to have Yerushalayim. And the Shem Shmuel says an unbelievable thing. He says, what was the Meshuch Muhammad's job? His job was, when Klai Yisrael went to war, they didn't go to war all the time, all he did was make a speech. But that speech had an impact. A person who says Advar Torah and makes an impact, somebody who's chashiv, and it's considered a special level in Klal Yisrael. Obas Meshuch Muhammad from Obas Kohen Hedyot, Obas Yisrael Shoyim Mazel Mazel, everybody borrowed from each other, nobody wore their own, Kedei Shloi Levayis Es Mish Einloi. Not to embarrass somebody who doesn't have their own clothing. And we learned in the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Tun and Tefillah, every garment that was borrowed had to be immersed in the mikvah. Even if it was not used, they were from the chest, from the closet, everybody had to borrow. Everybody had to be toivel the kelim, the garments. Why? So Rishonim explain. Since we don't know the religious observance of every person, so again, we don't know what, you know, we're going to start checking, are you makbid, are you not makbid, and we didn't want to embarrass somebody, so they just made a general rule. Every garment has to be taken to the mikveh. It makes no difference who you're borrowing it from and what they're saying is the Tumah Tahara status of that garment. B'nois Yisrael, Yoytzes V'chayos B'kramim, they used to go out and dance in the vineyards. Tal Namisha Enli Isha Niflu L'Sham. Whoever didn't have a wife would go there, and that's where they used to meet. The Mefarshim speak. The Kolboy, first of all, there's a Kolboy, Kolboy is a Rishon, says, nobody should make the mistake, he says, that the only way Shidduchim were arranged was Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Certainly people got married other ways. Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur were people who didn't get married any other way. They were getting older, had other issues, so this was the way that we married them off. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim on Yom Kippur itself. This is what they did. So some Rishonim say that it didn't actually take place on Yom Kippur. It took place on Matzah Yom Kippur. Other Rishonim say, yes, it specifically took place on Yom Kippur. What's Pshat? On a day of Yom Kippur, where we are on the highest level of Kedusha V'Tahara, that's the day where a person should be thinking about getting married. Because then we know that the person's intentions are correct. There's no other ulterior motives. Moreover, the Mefarshim say that that's the day that there's nothing more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than building Jewish homes, than building Jewish families. So yes, Yom Kippur, which is the holiest and greatest day in the Jewish calendar, what should you use that day for? Going out and getting Shidduchim. The Gemara goes in what they used to say. Tanur Rabbanan. Yafiyofi Shabahem, the pretty ones would say, Maya Oimer Tanu Einechem Lo Yoifi. Look at beauty. Shein Isha Lo Yoifi. A woman, a wife is for beauty. The Yaivetz explains, because the Gemara says, Shloish Dvarim Machivim Datash Ladim. There are certain things that make a person feel good. And one of them is Isha Yofi, if he has a nice wife. So look for a nice wife and you'll feel good. Miyachosh Shabahem. The ones that had a chosh v'yichas, mahal yomers, what did they say? Tnu einechel mishpacha. Look for a family. V'she'en ish lebodim. A wife is for children. So there's a number of pshatim, what does yichas have to be with children? Rashi says that if mitzvah Shem will have children, and will have to marry off those children. If those children are miyuchasim, then they'll have an easy time getting married. So if you want to have an easy time eventually marrying off your children, make sure to marry a wife who's a miyuchesis. Another pshat is The purpose of getting married is to have children. And the purpose of having children, as we spoke a moment ago, is to be mechanech them properly. A woman who comes from a mishpacha miyuchesed, that comes from a good family, she obviously, probably, had a very good upbringing. And then she will be a good mother and a good mechaneches to her children. That's what you should look for in a wife. What about the people who didn't have yichus and didn't have looks? K'chu mechem l'shem shemayim. Look for somebody who get married l'shem shemayim. Uvatcha tren bezuvim and make sure to give us jewelry. So before I should explain what were they saying. So one shot I saw is that the truth is that all Jewish women are really beautiful. Just the nias, the fact that they're subjected to poverty, gives them tzaris so they don't look good. So they tell him, if we won't be poor, if you'll give us jewelry and you'll support us, you'll see how beautiful we'll become. But what they were saying really was, the main thing is to look for Yerushalayim. I saw another pshat, a derech tzachis, like this. The Mefarshim say that these women didn't have much to offer. They weren't pretty, they weren't miyuchasois, they weren't wealthy. So a husband will take them, will say, you know what, it's worth taking such a wife because she doesn't have big expectations. So a stingy man may look for them as a wife. So they say, don't take us because you're stingy. We're going to expect you to treat us right, even if we don't have much to offer. Amar Ula Bira, Amar Belozer. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasses machal kar tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for the tzadikim. The Yosh b'neim b'gan Eden. And he's going to sit amongst them in Gan Eden. Machal, they say, why dafka the word machal? Because machal is from Lashon Mechila. That when Mashiach comes, and we're all sitting in Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be machal our veirus. And everybody's going to be able to point out with the finger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God, Kivinu Loi V'yeshi'enu, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Loi, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we hope for, Negilah V'nismucha V'yeshu'asa. So before I should explain what's the point of a circle, so they say, in a circle, there's no beginning and there's no end. In this world, both good things and bad things come to an end, because this world is a temporary world. In the world to come, it will be a machal, it will be like a circle. The good times of world to come will be infinite, with no end. Another pshat that they say about a machal is that in a circle, everybody's equal. There's no front, and there's no back. In the world to come, it's going to be a machal. Everybody will be equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mashiach says, what's Pshat Hine Elokeinu Zeh? In this, Elokeinu we know represents Midas Hadin. In this world, when a person is afflicted by the Midas Hadin, he doesn't understand. But the Pasuk says, when we will be in the Olam HaEmes, we will say, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, even the Midas Hadin, which we didn't understand, and certainly weren't happy with in this world, will realize Zeh Kivinu Loi. That's what we were hoping for. Everything that we thought in this world was Midas Hadin was really what we wanted and expected and hoped for. I heard from Rabbi Yosef ben Soloveitchik that on Simchas Torah, he would not allow them when they dance with the Sifrei Torah for anybody to dance in the middle. Because he says it represents this Gemara. The dancing in Simchas Torah represents like we're dancing Olam Haba. And Olam Haba, we say, who's going to be in the middle? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's inappropriate that anyone should take the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by standing in the middle of the circle. To end the Masechta, we'll end with a vart from Rav Kivayga. Rav Kivayga says that in this world, you know, there are a lot of different tzaddikim, and there are a lot of different ways of serving Hashem. And everybody thinks that their derech, that their way, is the right way. Zok the Gemara, that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to be in a circle. All the different ways will all make up one beautiful circle. With everybody having their own derech, But all the Durachim are pointing in the same direction. They're all pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as long as our intention is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes no difference if I have one way and you have another way. As long as we all combine to be Oved as Hashem, that's our goal in the world. Hiram Lop Shlosha Prakam Sliklam Sakta Tinus. Hiram Lop Shlosha Prakam Sliklam Sakta Tinus. Hiram Lop Shlosha Prakam Sliklam Sakta Tinus. What?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't know.